and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship. And I am grateful today to be on location in Ketchikan, Alaska, and in White Cliff Church. We are here in the sanctuary, and I'm with alumni, Alan McElroy, alumnus, I should say. Alan McElroy, pastor of White Cliff Church here in Ketchikan, and Randy Covington, the executive director of the Alaska Baptist Resource Network. And we are here for a conference, and you from MCC know that I'm here for Glory of the Local Church conference that Alan has organized, and so grateful to be with you brothers here today on the Voices of MCC podcast.
Yeah, glad you're here.
Yeah, great to be with you, Todd. Thanks.
Yes, and what I hope to do today is to give a bit of a perspective on cooperation and missions and what that looks like in the SBC. For folks who are familiar with our internship program at MCC and our alumni, Pastor Alan, as I have the privilege of calling him here, is an alumnus of MCC, completed an internship. And we have on previous Voices of MCC podcasts spoken with Pastor Alan and his wife, Sarah, and caught up a bit on life with the transition to Ketchikan. But my hope today is to go a bit deeper, not only in that story of God's call to Ketchikan, but also how God works through the Southern Baptist Convention and the cooperative program, because the reality is it is a glorious story that Alan and Sarah have enjoyed. But this happens around the world regularly, every week, in God's work, and even just through the SBC, as large as it is, it's just one aspect of what the Lord is doing, but it is what we're involved in. So I've invited Randy and Pastor Alan here to give us some thoughts on the cooperative program and the Southern Baptist Convention. So Randy, I'm going to let you first just introduce yourself a little bit further so folks can get to know you, your work. Mm-hmm. And then give us a 10,000-foot view. What is the structure of the SBC, and what is the CP?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm born and raised in Alaska, so this is home for me. I haven't spent all my life here. We did spend several years going to school in Texas and then a number of years with the International Mission Board overseas. But I am probably as more Alaska Baptist than I am Southern Baptist. And it's kind of interesting because people ask the question, are there really Southern Baptists in the farthest north state in the United States? But yes, there are Southern Baptists here. In fact, we have currently about 115 Southern Baptist churches, missions, preaching points that are connected with the Southern Baptist Convention. And so I've kind of grown up in that structure and that without really understanding the bigger picture when I was younger. But in recent years, as I've had the chance to travel to the lower 48 and meet with other state conventions to see how God works. Obviously, the Southern Baptist Convention was organized in 1845. It was organized as a way of coming together to do missions in a cooperative effort. And I think that word cooperative is kind of one of the key words that have really led Southern Baptists to be who they are and to do what they do. It's made up of several, state conventions. I think there's currently about 41 state conventions. Some of the states combine because they're smaller, so there may be two or three states in one convention. But they organize together. Obviously, the church is the main point. The church is where ministry happens. And the state convention, the local association, even the national convention are organized to undergird the work of the church, to facilitate the work of ministry in the local church. It's a large organization, but it is a decentralized organization in the sense that no organization of the Southern Baptist Convention has authority over the local church. We're fortunate to have, of course, the executive committee, which kind of keeps things going in between the convention meetings, which is when the messengers decide the direction of the Southern Baptist Convention. And then we have our mission agencies, which is the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, that basically help churches get the word out into the darkest corners of the earth. And then we have Lifeway, which basically is kind of our publishing arm, helps produce materials for our churches. Guidestone is also an arm or an entity within the Southern Baptist Convention that assists with thinking about the future, retirement, especially for pastors and that kind of thing. And then, of course, we have our six seminaries that are also funded by the Southern Baptist Convention. And the funding is probably the most unique thing about Southern Baptists. We have what we call the cooperative program. We encourage every church within our network of churches, which right now is anywhere between 47,000 and 50,000. I hear different numbers. But those churches are encouraged to give through the cooperative program a percentage of their tithes and offerings that come into the local church. And then those funds go to the Southern Baptist Convention. A portion of those funds obviously remain in the state to do local missions, but then a percentage goes on to the National Convention, and that's what supports over 3,700 missionaries with the International Mission Board. It supports church planters and other workers in different types of ministries across the North American continent. The one other entity that is included is the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. It's a small group that kind of helps be on the front lines of promoting Christian principles in the political realm. And so that's another arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. And all of the money that comes through the cooperative program supports all of these entities.
What you have just heard, friends, is what seminary classes do in several weeks. And you heard it from someone who's in the know. And I don't know if I've ever heard the cooperative program explained so succinctly and eloquently. So great job, Randy. Pastor Allen, and it's hard to just call you Pastor Allen. I'll keep doing it here, but Mac, as many folks at MCC know you. What was your first exposure to the SBC and the cooperative program, or as we refer to it, the CP?
Yeah. So my family is from the South, and even though we moved around a little bit, I kind of grew up around Southern Baptist churches, and as a kid, I just knew that, all right, they had a county meeting every now and then once a year they had this big state meeting, and they spent days deciding stuff. And like, they took up an offering at Christmas time and at Easter. That's all I really knew. And then when Sarah and I became believers as adults, started attending a Southern Baptist church, learned a little more about that and what that all entailed. And I think it really took going to seminary, or right before I went to seminary, before I really understood a lot of those things, like that we had seminaries, or that we had people in Washington and things of that nature. But yeah, that's kind of how I was first exposed to it.
And as you look to the last few years, mm-hmm. you were a student at MBTS and mm-hmm. now pastoring mm-hmm. an SBC church here in Ketchikan. You were a member at MCC. Mm-hmm. Give us a few snapshots of how the cooperative program has benefited you as a student, as a pastor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the big ones right out the gate was seminary and the tuition of being a Southern Baptist. I mean, even talking to friends that weren't Southern Baptists at a Southern Baptist school, or friends that were going to a non-Southern Baptist school, and how much they paid in tuition and how our tuition was like half of that. That's a huge benefit. And then as you know, the connections we were able to make that brought us here were a huge benefit from the Southern Baptist Convention and those cooperative program.
If I'm remembering the story correctly, you went to an SBC meeting. So this mm-hmm. is the Southern Baptist Convention meeting that happens once a year. The convention mm-hmm. operates outside of that meeting, again, as Randy mentioned, through the executive committee. Mm-hmm. But Birmingham, Alabama, 3 years ago, is that?
2 years ago. That was the first time, Alan and I met.
Yes, just 2 years ago. So Alan, unpack the story a little bit of meeting Randy there at the SBC. So this is the annual meeting, happens in June each year. It's coming up here in Nashville soon. Yeah. So take us back 2 years, meeting Randy, what was all going on there?
Yes. Go ahead and give him the story, Alan, and then I'll correct everything.
All right.
I was there too.
So Sarah and I are discerning this call. We had lived in Alaska previously. We met up here. My wife had lived here about 7 years. I lived here 3 with the Army. And as we were discerning where God was going to have us serve, Alaska kept coming up. And actually, you and I meeting and talking about that and saying, well, let's see if there's anything there. Well, I called up Jay McKee, which works with Randy, just out of the blue, and was like, hey, I graduate in like a year and a half. Like, it was really far out. Do you guys have need up there? We're just trying to discern if maybe we're called Alaska. And he said, well, it's a long ways out. But if you're going to be in Birmingham, I'd love to meet you because a bunch of us are going to be down there. And I got off the phone and told Sarah, I was like, man, I don't know when else we're going to have so many Alaskans so close, even though we're in Kansas City. So maybe we should go to that meeting. So we packed up kids in our minivan, drove to the South, visited family, and then basically ambushed these guys at the convention. And so we ambushed them at their booth, and Jay or somebody said, we know what, we're having a dinner tonight for our pastors that came into town. Why don't you guys join us? So we joined them for dinner. It's the first place I met Randy and just chatted with these guys. And they just treated us like we were already in Alaska. I mean, just treated us like that we were their own. And I passed my resume, I think, off to Randy, went back to the car and was like, hey, if you know, have any need of this, let me know. Well, just out of the blue, probably 2 months later, maybe 3, I'm actually working at Midwestern, sitting at my desk, and this guy, named Guy, calls me out of the blue and goes, are you Alan McElroy? I said, yes, sir. He's like, well, we're a church in Alaska looking for a pastor. Are you interested? And I was doing something. I said, yes, but can we talk later? And that ended up led to us being here, and it was because we met Randy in Birmingham. And so Randy can now correct all my mistakes.
Actually, no, you got it right. And,
okay.
You know, I just different perspective for me, because when we met at that dinner that evening, you know, I sat across the table from you.
Yeah.
Just kind of quizzed you about, because we, you know, obviously we are looking for good pastors to come to Alaska, but we're also a little cautious because not everybody can handle it.
Yeah.
In Alaska. And so I thought, well, this guy's already been to Alaska. He's been through a winter, so at least he kind of understands.
Yeah.
His wife taught out in the village. So everything that they shared was just like, man, this sounds like a really good possibility. Yeah. Now, obviously, we were looking for somebody maybe in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But God had his own timing, his own plan with that. But I was very impressed as I sat there and met with Alan, of course, saw them. Their two oldest kids were around at that time. And so got to see them. And as I went back, and I had been working with this church here because they've been going through a really serious transition time. And looking for a pastor, Guy Mickle was a good friend of mine, a deacon of this church, and kind of leading out in the search process. And he had a couple of names, but he said, we just don't have a strong leaning one way or the other. So I said, well, I have a resume here from this Alan McElroy. I said, I was real impressed with him. And so I said, why don't you give him a call and talk to him? So I sent the resume, and of course, the rest is history. God just kind of brought this together. And I think it is definitely a sovereign thing. I mean, God has been in charge of that, and I've seen God work in amazing ways. And I'll just say to you, Todd, we need more guys like Alan here in Alaska. So if you've got any more to send our way, please.
I am going to do my best. And it's been fantastic to just be here and see boots on the ground. And Randy, just to encourage you, I mean, I get to hang out with staff of the SBC, executive directors, DOMs in Kansas City, and so forth. And I appreciate all of you and your work. You all, you serve well. And to hear your heart, what you just said a moment ago, it's the local church that is the SBC. Mm-hmm. And your job is to serve pastors. It's not a top-down organization. Sometimes folks in churches might think that, but it's not. There's no authority that any figure in the SBC or employee has over the local church. It's completely cooperative and free, and that's what makes it glorious.
That's right.
And that's how God is glorified in the resources that are shared. It's people willingly giving, and it's pastors, frankly, leading their churches to give to the cooperative program.
Right.
And that's what I would want students who are listening to this need to understand, that Mac being here in Ketchikan would perhaps be possible apart from the cooperative program, but that is the means that God used.
It really is. Yeah.
without the CP, there would be far fewer connections. And those connections lead to ministry. Those connections lead to influence and going to hard places and not repeating mistakes of the past generation, because people have been through this before. People like Randy who are here, who can direct folks like Mac or others who come here and maybe have some experience, maybe not, can help to do that. That happens in New York City. It happens in Peru. It happens in Brazil. It happens in France. It is through the glory of the SBC and the cooperative program. Randy, maybe you could just unpack a story or two of how you have benefited from the SBC and the CP over the years. Obviously, you're an employee, but someone who has as much leadership experience as you have would not need to work for the Southern Baptist Convention. You could. There are lots of places you could lead or work. Obviously, you still benefit from it. Can you give us a story or two?
I'm a church kid, so I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. When the doors were open, the Covingtons were there even when I was in the nursery. So my parents, you know, had that Southern Baptist background. However, as a kid, I didn't understand, obviously, the giving, the cooperative program, the connection with the Southern Baptist Convention, because we're so far away. Here in Alaska, that was a long ways away, and so it really didn't mean a lot until I was 10. And when I was 10, I made a profession of faith when I was 7. But when I was 10 years old, our family moved out to a homestead. There was no church out there. There was a community church that was made up of anybody who called themselves religious. You know, they would show up on Sundays, and we would worship. But there were two churches that said, you know what, we're going to cooperate together because there needs to be a church in that community just north of where our homestead was. And so we saw the cooperation already begin among Alaska Baptist churches to come together and say, we're going to send a missionary there. This church is going to provide some funding, and this church is going to provide some funding. And then we've got some mission funds through our state convention to help get this church planted. And so I saw a big old army tent go up in the middle of a gravel pit just outside of the city of Talkeetna. And it was the first church that was in that community. And our family was a part of that. And then over the next 4 years, we watched how God began to grow that congregation. And we eventually were able to get money through the North American Mission Board to actually build a building where we could meet. And so for the very first time, I saw, you know what, this is more than just what Alaska Baptists are doing. This is something that Southern Baptists are doing, even though they're a long ways away. And then later, when I sensed God's call into ministry, I'd just been married 2 or 3 years, was kind of helping out, doing music in a local church, and God just got a hold of my life and said, I want you in full-time ministry. And at that point, it meant going to seminary, and there was no seminary in Alaska. You know, it's like, okay, if I'm going to do this, Lord, I'm going to have to leave the state that I love and go someplace. And we had family in Texas, so Southwestern Seminary seemed to be the best place for us to go. And we went there, and little did I know that the cooperative program actually provided funds for matriculation fees at Southwestern Seminary. I had no idea, but I was so excited when I went there, and when I saw my bill for the semester was like $200, and I'm taking a full load of classes. I'm like, praise God for Southern Baptist and for giving through the cooperative program. And then, of course, later when we sensed the Lord calling us into overseas ministry, I had heard about missionaries and knew about sending missionaries, but really never thought that he was talking about me until a missionary one time said, you know, why not? God has specifically gifted you, and your gifts could be used in an international setting. So at that point, we started that process, and I was once again amazed at how everything that works, supported by the cooperative program, helped to prepare candidates for overseas appointment. It's not an easy process, but you know, they take you through the process of evaluations and medical and preparing you for that. And then once you get overseas, spending a year to 2 years in language study, all of that time being supported by the gifts of the cooperative program. And we served 22 years on the mission field, and we never once suffered. We knew that Southern Baptists were there, that they were going to support us, encourage us, pray for us, and make sure that we had everything we needed to do ministry.
Friends, that is so important for you to hear that. And young pastors who are going into churches thinking, is the CP still worth it? Is the CP something I should be involved in? And the answer, I hope, after you listen to this is emphatically yes, because it does provide these kinds of resources in several different ways. The IMB, the North American Mission Board, the seminaries, ERLC, these are all important works, and they are worth it. They help in starting churches, in sustaining churches at times, and helping them along the way. And the connections that take place through the SBC and the CP. Yes. So Randy mentioned his time at Southwestern Seminary. Mm-hmm. Well, the students who are listening here know of Dr. John Mark Yates, Dean of Students at Midwestern Seminary currently, and has a book with Dr. Robert Matz, Better Together, on the cooperative program. Randy, can you unpack your relationship with John Mark just a minute?
Sure. Yeah, I served a church in Fort Worth, Texas before we went overseas, Normandale Baptist Church. And of course, my kids, you know, were young before we went overseas. And then when we would come back on stateside, we would come back to that church. And in the intervening years, John Mark Yates became pastor of that church. And I came back, met him, you know, heard him preach. And I thought, this guy is sharp. I like the way he preaches. I like the way he teaches. And of course, my kids loved it. And in fact, my son is still an elder now in that church. And that was probably 25, 30 years ago when we first came to that church. But we developed a great friendship. And of course, when John Mark was pastoring there, he brought a group from the church on a mission trip to Greece, where we were serving. And we had the opportunities to not only do local ministry, but to go through the city of Thessaloniki, through Philippi, see the ruins and stuff. And, of course, I became a student again of John Mark Yates, because he knew so much about the history of the early church and the Greek culture and that kind of thing. And so it was a tremendous experience. And we've been good friends ever since.
It's just amazing to hear these kinds of connections and stories. And again, so much of this is because of the cooperative work of the SBC. And it's cooperation in terms of money. It's also in terms of people and partnerships and short-term missions trips to places like Alaska.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Where you can come for a couple of weeks and really help a church. There's a church from Texas mm-hmm. who's headed up to White Cliff this summer.
Yes.
Mac, unpack that just a couple of minutes for us.
Yeah, so it's Grace Point Church in Magnolia, Texas, and they have a partnership that predates my coming here. And so they're a church that has a lot of contractors and construction guys that are really knowledgeable, like master electricians and stuff. And they come up here and they help fix things at the church, the parsonage. They're going to really bless our church this summer. And not just physical things. We're looking at an evangelism event as well. And evidently they're going to bring a bunch of brisket and smoke it Texas style. And you know, I haven't had the heart to tell them, you know, that we ate a lot of brisket in Kansas City, and it's not exactly the same, but still they're blessing us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's just so fun to think about. And those short-term trips can make an impact on young people who come.
Yes.
And it's not unlikely that some of the folks who come on these short-term trips will serve in Alaska churches someday.
Right. Yeah.
So what happens in a teenager's life, in a college student's life, in a short-term trip often means a decade somewhere in their life. And that can then be something that God uses in the future. Well, friends, this has just been a delightful conversation. I hope it helps you to have a perspective for the SBC, the CP, and faces and names to this. It's the case that MCC, the last couple of years, we've been able to give almost 20% of everything that's come into missions. And the largest portion of that has gone to the CP. We do support other missionaries who have to raise their support. But the benefit of Southern Baptists is that they don't have to. We give that, and it's there. They don't have to worry if something's going to be funded. And you're going to continue to hear me champion that cause because I think it works and it helps. And I'm just grateful for it. We're brothers. It's great to be here. As soon as we started talking, when I arrived the first evening, this podcast idea came to mind. We need to record one and get this out, because these stories need to be heard, because the structure matters. And there are thousands of stories like this, right going on right now around the world. This is not uncommon. This is what God does. So I'm thankful. I also want to say a special word of thanks to Alan McDonald. He's running the tech for us here in the White Cliff Sanctuary. And thanks to Alex Volkman for his production of these for MCC, and Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for their musical introduction. Friends, until we connect again on Voices of MCC podcast, the Lord bless and keep you.